want to hear you.
Are you sure about that? You want to hear me? Okay. Our scripture for today, we continue on in the book of James, starting in the third chapter, reading 13 through chapter 4, verse 3, and then verses 7 and 8a. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be discord and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. And then in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, it just seems like things get more and more chaotic. We pray for the next few minutes that you would help us to clear a spot so that we may listen. And Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you hear the term wise guy, what comes to mind? Well, the first thing that I thought of was there was a television show, I think it was in the early 90s, called Wise Guy. It was about a government agent that spent a couple years in prison just so that he could infiltrate organized crime in New Jersey. Well, what else do you think about with Wise Guy? Well, the second thing that I thought of was Goodfellas, the mobster movie. The mobster movie. Tripping over my tongue today. You know, if you're in the mafia, you know, you're a good fellow, or you know, you're a wise guy. And towards the end of the week, I was reminded of another wise guy, Ken Bonk. I get the sermon title to Aridia and to Ken. Usually, if my phone behaves itself, I get it out at least on Thursday. And sometimes Ken has a little bit of fun with the sermon title, and he sends me a slightly but truthfully modified sermon title. And he was joking about being a wise guy, and then he sends me a picture. You know, the sermon today is, you know, be a wise guy. And he sends me one that says, be a Kevin Bonk. And I said, yes, 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 yes. Leave it up. And of course, for those of us that are old enough, if you think about wise guy, you think about Curly from the Three Stooges. Oh, wise guy, huh? Whoa, 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 whoa. And when you think about a wise guy, sometimes you think about someone that is indeed wise. Now, to me, the best wise guys in that respect are ones that know that they know what they know, but they don't convey to you that they know what they know. You know, there are a lot of people in many different fields that have PhDs or the equivalent in whatever subject that they have. And in many cases, they are some of the dumbest people in the world. Just because you have a PhD and you've done research or you've talked or whatever does not mean that you are an expert in all things. And a lot of times there is a lot of arrogancy. Probably's going to have a talk with me after this. There's a lot of arrogance when they're talking. Okay? I can't think of any modern day examples. But they are sure of themselves. Oh yes, I know about this. I think this is what the problem is, and this is the only way that we can take and fix this problem. And truthfully, there's a vote for me somewhere in there, but I promised I wouldn't get off into politics too much today. So what really does it mean to be a wise guy Christian? Well, what it really should be is not a Christian wise guy, but a Christian guy with wisdom. There's a difference between wisdom and being wise. So what is this? So James goes into this, and hopefully you remember the sermon from last week, right, everybody? Yeah. Last week was about the tongue. But James starts off on here, who is wise and understanding among you? He's really questioning this concept of how wise we think that we are and how much that we understand whatever it is. We had a conversation about this in Men's Sunday School this morning. And we basically came to the conclusion that even though, you know, Jeff knows a lot about power, David obviously knows a lot about the law, I know a lot about IT stuff, and I've got a fair amount of religious stuff, that we're all dumb. We are all dumb because we don't know anything. The New Testament wisdom is associated with being full of the Spirit of Jesus, having spiritual maturity and understanding how to approach the problem that is in front of you. True wisdom does not come from any college, any university, any institute of higher education. True and pure wisdom comes from Jesus and from God. A wise person, wise in the ways of Jesus, wise in the ways of the Spirit, comes to understand how to handle the daily issues that confront each of us. Which means that we need to be studying the Bible. We need to really dig in and try to figure out what is being said. Because a surface reading of any scripture, while it will give you something, it is better to dive deep and have an understanding. Because there's a lot of people that take scripture and use it out of context. There's the good one in Corinthians, which says women should be silent in church. Sorry, Francie, no more singing. You gotta be quiet. You gotta be quiet. Sorry, Pastor Wendy Wilson and the Reverend Dr. Gina Ray. Both DOC ministers. Sorry, you're not allowed to talk. That's what the surface reading is. But if you dive deeper, Paul is actually talking about people that don't understand, that have not been trained, that have not read. That's what I would say that is really about. Because some of the best preachers I have heard have been women. And verse 14 talks about there is wisdom from above and there is wisdom from below. Well, that wisdom. So there's two different types of wisdom. There is the wisdom of God, and there is the wisdom of the earth, or in other words, there is the wisdom of Satan, or what evil, ever you call the evil presence in the world today. And James makes a distinction between the two. The wisdom from earth is bitter, envious, selfish. It is boastful and it is false to the truth. Reminds you of anybody? Reminds me of me a little bit. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. If there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, is first pure, then peaceable. Wow. Gentle. Holy cow. Willing to yield. Preacher, don't say that. You mean I have to be willing to change? It is full of mercy and good fruits without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Let's be honest, a lot of times we, even in this church, rely a little bit too much upon earthly wisdom. We get, especially, I would say, we get an idea into our head, and when that idea is challenged, what do we say? Oh, that's interesting. I'll have to think about that. No, we usually say, how can you believe that? That is so wrong. You can't be Christian and be fill in the blank. I've seen a lot of that as of late. You can't be Christian and you can't be whatever the heck that it is. Is that peaceable? Is there any hint of willingness to change? I've said it before. I think one of the biggest problems that we as a society have today is that we listen to respond and not listen to understand. Let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with understanding the opinion of someone that differs in thought from you. Did Jesus, when he was confronted with this, did he just poo-poo it off? No, he listened and he responded in kind. A lot of times, if I understand whatever the subject is, what that other person's opinion is, I can rephrase or reframe my argument to try to get my point across in a way that would be familiar to them. We need to listen to understand because therein wisdom can be found. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. This is the key verse to this entire passage. And again, as I mentioned, this is how you can tell heavenly wisdom from earthly wisdom. Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Are you arguing over it? Violently arguing over it? No. There are good qualities to being tapped into the wisdom that is from above, because that wisdom that comes from above helps us to live our daily lives the way that God would have us to live. Are we going to be perfect in that? Let's be honest again. No, we're not, because of our human flaws and our human frailty. But that does not mean that that cannot be the goal that we are reaching for, that that is what we are striving for. God is not looking for perfection here on earth. God is looking for people that are committed to Him and the good news of His Son, Jesus Christ, that on a daily basis keep reaching for that perfection that is there. That's what God wants. God wants people who said, Lord, I didn't do too well today, and I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do better tomorrow. Please, please help me with that. For a while, there was kind of a fad, a trend, or whatever you want to take and call it, and I think to a certain extent, it's still out there, of bracelets that had WWJD on it. Now, let me tell you, it does not mean we want Jack Daniels. Let's dispel that right now. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if he had someone that was arguing vehemently? Yeah, she's really going to talk to me. Vietnamese, yeah, I can't even say it. Anyhow, who is forcefully putting forth a point, or who is trying to put something forward so that you trip yourself up on whatever it is, and then they can say, hey, look, you know, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. How did Jesus handle that? He listened. He understood, and then he responded in kind. He countered the argument, but he didn't shake his finger, call that other person a dummy. He answered the question again in terms that that person could understand, and he addressed the issue. How many of us do that today? What are you going to do if someone that is in poverty, someone that needs help? What would Jesus do? He didn't say, go be blessed. May you find some food, where may you find some shelter. He helped them. In many cases, it was the sick and the infirm that came to talk to him. And he didn't say, oh, you know, you'll be okay. Go off. He healed them. Your faith has made you well. My devotional today was talking about, what does it mean to be a goat Christian? G-O-A-T. Greatest of all time. What defines a goat Christian? Servant. Being a servant, which is lowly, you know? Where we as a society, you know, we've got celebrities and politicians and singers and all this other stuff. We've got them higher up, and we've got like the people in the food industry, the servers, they're down here. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So we need to have that. What drives us is not, shouldn't be to get the money, to get the big house. I would rephrase that and say, I try to make as much as I can so that I can do good with it. So, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, and I know a lot of you are going to forget a lot of this, just remember this week. WWJD. When you hit situations, say to yourself, what would Jesus do? And then do it. Amen.